and mercy unto you. Peace and love be multiplied. Galatians chapter number 5, as we continue our thoughts there, we should be able to move into chapter number 6 tonight on the work of the Spirit of God, God's Holy Ghost in the church. And tonight it's going to apply more so to the individual as it did on last week as well. The Holy Ghost has one basic job after He finds us and brings us to Jesus. And that's to get us home to glory. Now, I don't know about you, but that sure gives me a lot of comfort in knowing that God doesn't leave it up to me to get there. First off, I don't know the way, but He does. I know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But there are crooks and bends in our paths individually. And the Holy Ghost knows how to get us by those.
Yes, He does.
And get us home to glory. So His task tonight is to get us home to glory. And on the way, there are a lot of things that take place and He will do in order to get us there. And thank God that is so. He will get us there. In chapter number 5 of the Galatian letter, we come down next to the last verse tonight. Here's the statement, two basic statements in this verse. If we live in the Spirit, do you live in the Spirit? If you're born again, you live in the Spirit. And the Spirit lives in you. Isn't that amazing? That God would not only put His Spirit in us, He lives in us, but we live in the Spirit. And then He says, not only are we to live in the Spirit, but there's another word involved there. Two major verbs in these two statements. We're to walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
We live in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. I want you to look back at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now it's strange that Paul should say this twice. But he doesn't say the same thing. Now our English language says the same thing, but and for the most part it carries the right connotation. However, these are not the same Greek words. In verse number 16, Paul says, walk. And this walk is to just kind of walk around. Just to mill around. But then when we come to the next time it's used in verse number 25, it's another word entirely. Here in verse number 25, it is the word stakeo. And this word means to march in rank. Now, in verse number 16, look back at it again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Here, the word has no real direction. Here, it is milling around. You're walking in the Spirit. You're living in the manner in which the Spirit of God leads you day by day. But now we're coming to another instant entirely. Here, Paul is saying we're to march as soldiers in rank. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. There is no place for hypocrisy here. If you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Do you realize that your walk is all that the world knows about you? The ensign in your life is your walk. The emblem of your life is your walk. You can say all you will, but how do you walk? Did you ever meet someone says, oh, I never touch alcohol, and the next day you see them staggering along? What's the matter with that statement? It's a hypocritical statement. It's a lie in reality. Many saints are living hypocritical lives. They're living lying lives. For they're saying, I live in the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in me. But you're not walking the way you're supposed to walk. Something wrong with that. Something entirely wrong with that. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. The Spirit's work of fruit in and through us is dependent upon our walk with Him. If this fruit we talked about last week and all the attributes thereof, if this fruit is present in our life, it's present because we are walking with Him. Not just I'm talking that I have Him in my life, but that I am walking with Him. The Spirit-filled life is a changed life. It's not the ordinary life at all. It is well beyond the ordinary. I think oftentimes we try to live ordinary Christian life, and the ordinary Christian life is not sufficient to get you to glory. Now hear what I say. I'm talking about the superficial thing now. You and I know that if you're really saved, you're going to glory. But what a joy it is to enjoy the trip. Why be tied down with all of this garbage around us and not enjoy the trip home? Ginger and I were away from home for half a century. And I think she can attest to this very statement. We never started home that we weren't excited about going home. May I say to you, the saint of God is on his way home. We ought to be excited about going home. Excited about our destination. And by the way, excited about the stops along the way and the things along the way that God blesses us with. I don't know, as I said earlier, I don't know what the next turn may bring. But I know that my Lord is there. Now that sure encourages me. I'm glad to know that wherever I go, He's there. As a matter of fact, wherever He leads me, He has already gone before me. The spiritual walk is a walk in sync with the Spirit. This is not a Gomer Pyle marching circumstance. I'm sure you've seen that. If you haven't, you ought to watch it one time just to see how uncoordinated people can be. But if we march, every man that's ever been in service has learned to march in sync. What do you think they're hollering, lip, right? What do you think they're doing that for? You're learning to walk in step. You're learning to walk in sync with everyone else. When everyone else's left foot touches the pavement, yours touches it as well. That's just the way it is. Now, if that's true as far as a physical sense is concerned, then this is the reference that Paul uses for our spiritual life. Yes. When the Spirit sets His foot down, we are to set our foot down on the same path. Yes. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Now, let me say this to you. I don't necessarily remember this as far as I'm concerned. We didn't necessarily have big department stores. We had Cress's and Woolworth and Ward's and those things when I was growing up. And I remember walking through those stores from time to time, and Mom had my hand. Are you listening to me? And if I tried to kind of get on my own, guess what she'd do? We used to plow horses and an old mule. When those horses and that mule started to get out of the furrow, you jerk that line and get him back. Well, that's what Mom did to us. If we kind of got out of line a little bit and wanted to go our own way, she'd jerk that arm a little bit. Well, we knew what that meant. You straighten up, boy, or it's not going to be nice when we get out of here. As a matter of fact, you may go behind a coat rack somewhere and have a little pow-wow. Mama'd do the pow, we'd do the wow. You understand that? Well, this is the circumstance that we're to walk in. I said Enoch walked with God. It was not so much so Enoch's walk as it was Enoch's companion. And where did Enoch wind up? And was not, for God took him. Now where'd God take him? To another mountain somewhere and let him down? Oh, no. God took him home with him. Now, could Enoch have gotten there by himself? Absolutely not. Again, he didn't know the way, but his companion knew the way. The good Holy Ghost is our companion. He knows the way. He knows the way. The old song, "The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I've got to do is follow." You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to get home. Your worry only needs to be in that you have the proper companion along the way. And once you're saved by God's good grace, and you learn how grace works along the way, then you don't worry about that. Right. Now your concern is just walking with Him. Do you realize when the Holy Ghost leaves here, you're going with Him? When God takes Him out of this world, you're going with Him. Yes, now just stay up close. Remember the account of Elijah and Elisha? Elijah knew God was going to take him out. But Elisha knew that God was going to take him out. And Elisha said to Elijah, "When you go, give me a double portion of the Spirit that dwells upon you." Now here was the requisite. If you see me go, if you see me leave out, then you'll get what you're asking for. Well, everywhere they went, you check it out. Yes, sir. Look at it. Everywhere they went, Elisha was on Elijah's heels. Yes, sir. The sons of the prophets said, "Hey, do you know the Lord's going to take him away from here today?" Elijah said, "Yeah, I know. Don't bother me. I've got something to do here. Got to keep my mind on what's going on. You ought to just stay over here." "No, I'm going with him. Wherever he goes, I'm going." Elijah struck the river parted, and they both went over. Elijah even tried to get Elisha to stay behind. Said, "Not so, not gonna do it. There ain't no, nary, never, none of such a done it. I'm not gonna stay. I'm going wherever you go." I can just see it, can't you? Boy, Elisha wanted a double portion of that Spirit. And he knew the only way he's going to get it is to be there when Elijah left out. I'm going to tell you right now, the only way you're going to get out of here, the only way you're going to really get what you want is to be there when he's taken out. Because when he goes, we're going with him. Unlike Elisha, who had to stay behind, we're going with the good Holy Ghost. So remember that. It's not so much so the walk, as far as I'm concerned, but it's the companion that I have along the way who knows the way home. We've been in some fairly dangerous circumstances. I was thinking this afternoon when we were boys, remember how we'd go to Pap's house and Pap would tell all those old ghost stories and panther stories, and oh, law, he'd have the hair standing up on the back of your head. And then we had to go home in the dark. I told the kids this last night. Every time Kylie walks out the door, she says, "Paul, come out here, I hear a bear." Strange how frogs sound like bears to children. I went out there with her last night, and I just put her in front of me, and I said, "Now you walk on out there and feed that bear so he won't bother me." I'm trying to get them by this. Their grandma has absolutely ruined them. They're scared of their shadows. Not that grandma. That's a great-grandma. I'm talking about the grandma. Renee has scared these kids to death.
Is that right or is that right?
Oh, yeah. If the door squeaks, what's that noise? But when we were kids, we'd go to Pap's, had to come home after all them tales at night, walking down that lane. I promise you I had every rock memorized. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it with my feet. I knew where I was along the roadway. Once in a while, we'd have a lantern, but I decided one night that the lantern only tells the booger where you are. It won't show you the booger, but it'll show you to the booger. So we left the lantern home from then on. No use fooling with a lantern. A lantern might be good to hang up in the barn, but it's no good to walk down the road with, I promise you. But we travel a gruesome pathway from time to time. The Old Testament equates it to the sheep and the bears and the lions and the serpents and the rocks and the crevices and so on. It wasn't an easy path. And it isn't an easy path in this world where we're concerned. But when we know the companion, and we understand the companion knows the way, we just stay up close to our companion.
Sure.
And we don't have to worry about the way. If you live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. If you live according to the Spirit of God, then walk according to the Spirit of God. Walk in order. In an order. Step in ranks. Don't be scattered about and wondering whether you ought to go this way or that. But rather, follow the good Holy Ghost. And you'll always find the path God has for you to take. Hosea, one of my special friends in the Old Testament, bless his heart. But Hosea says in chapter number 6 of his writing, "Then shall you know if you follow on to know the Lord." We don't want to know the Lord. We want to know the Lord of our making. We don't want to know the God of this Bible. Too tough for us as far as our walk is concerned. Now, move with me to chapter 6. I'll let you rest a little bit. Look at this in chapter number 6. "Brethren," now who in the world is he talking to? Folks driving up and down the road? No. He's talking to us. "Brethren, and may I add sistren? Brethren and sistren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or if a woman be overtaken in a fault," watch the words, "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." And then there's a caution. Look at this. "We're to do it in meekness, the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore the fallen, but be careful, and don't fall where they fell." Brother Lester Roloff, you just say it this way: if you're going to pull somebody out of the ditch, keep your tires on the pavement. Don't get in the ditch with them. You're just going to get stuck there. But keep your tires on the pavement. But restore them. Have we? No, we haven't. We really haven't. But I'm going to say this anyhow. God help us to learn to come beyond the teething ring spiritually, to where we stop judging everybody and condemning everyone because they stumble and fall. You don't know it yet, but you're going to fall. You don't know it yet, but you're stumbling along the way. You don't seem to understand at this point that all of us are human and temptation is before us. And we can succumb to the temptation as well as anyone else.
Yes, sir.
The moment you think you're above the temptation is the moment you're about to take a cataclysmic fall. You are not above temptation. You are not above falling. The Spirit doesn't make us proud and judgmental, quick to condemn a brother or a sister. If we're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, then we're going to be a forgiving people.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is not to condemn. It's important that we recognize that we are weaklings as well. This is mentioned in all four Gospels. And Simon Peter says, Lord, I'd die before I deny you. Did he say that? And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, before the cock crows, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. Simon Peter, just like you and this preacher, said, no, Lord, that can't happen. I'd go to the death with you. I'm ready to go to the death with you. What did Simon Peter do? He denied the Lord three times. We're prone to jump all over Simon Peter's case and say, boy, if I'd have been there, I'd have never done that kind of thing. I'd have never denied him. No, you wouldn't have denied him three times. You'd have denied him 10 times. Now look up here. Simon Peter is a chosen apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oft times he's been the mouthpiece for the apostles. One of the bravest of souls for the apostles. When our Lord is betrayed in the garden and the soldiers come, it's Simon Peter who takes the sword and cuts the ear from the servant of the high priest's head. But that same Simon Peter, before sunrise in the morning, denies our Lord three times. Many of you are sitting in these pews tonight saying, I would never do that. But I'm telling you that every time you sin, you do that. You deny the Lord Jesus every time you sin. But now, can I show you something? Our Lord doesn't say to the other disciples, go catch that dude and beat him to death. The next address you hear to Simon Peter, an angel says to Mary, go tell the disciples and Peter. He singles him out and says, you make sure Peter knows. I don't want Simon Peter to feel like he's not one of us. You tell Simon that I'm alive. And then, when they're together, the Lord said, Simon, do you love me? And Simon Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said to him, Simon, do you love me? And Simon said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And then again, he said, Simon, do you love me? And Simon Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus is restoring Simon Peter. Three times he denied. Three times Jesus said, do you love me? By the way, the first two times Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you love me? He uses the word agape. And Simon, every time, uses another word. He doesn't use the same word. He uses the word that is more akin to philo love, as a friend. Every time he says that. And then the third time Jesus said, Simon Peter, do you philo love me? Do you loved me as a friend. You see, Simon Peter wasn't able, and you're not able, to love the Lord the way He loves you. And He was willing to come to Simon Peter's level and say, Simon, just love me as a friend. Can you love me as a friend? And then He lays on Simon Peter the greatest of responsibilities. Can you believe that? Here is a man who had denied the Lord Jesus, and now our Lord restores him and lays on him the greatest of responsibilities. Now He said, Simon Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, bear the message. You know what we're ready to do in an instant? We're ready to throw them in the wood pile and burn them. We're ready to cast them aside. They're not fit for anything anymore. It's not the way Jesus felt. By the way, that's not the way the Spirit feels. Amen. And that's not the way the Spirit leads you. Amen. The Spirit will lead you to restore. Yes, that's what that book says. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. Put him back on his feet, and God will give him the responsibility. Glory! Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't know about you, but I love a restoring God. Yes. None of us have been what we ought to be every step of the way. But isn't it good that the God of glory will restore us and bring us back and give us a responsibility that is one of the highest responsibilities on this earth. Yes. Feed my sheep. Do you mean to tell me that our Lord would place the responsibility of His sheep in the hands of somebody that had denied Him three times? There's not a soul in this building that hasn't denied Him many times over that. And that God would give us a responsibility to do what we're doing. My, what a God. What mercy! What grace. The Spirit of God in your heart is a restoring spirit, not an accusing spirit, not a destructive spirit. When you hear something derogatory against a brother, your first inclination is to say, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it wasn't, I knew they weren't real. I knew it. There's just something about them. Now, how many times have you said that? You don't have to raise your hand. You'd be lying if you didn't. You've done that. But you know what the Spirit would say? Weep over that brother. Pray for that sister. Restore that dear one. You see, here's what we've got to learn. We've got to learn Jesus died for that person. And if He died for him, He loved him enough to do that very thing. Then why on God's earth can't we love them enough to restore them and bring them back? The Spirit of God is a forgiving Spirit. Here's the way I've always said it. No one has ever done more to me than I've done to my Lord. And my Lord is willing to forgive me, then I must be willing to forgive as well. Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 9. Jesus in the model prayer. Here's how He says it. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. Boy. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on this side of the cross. Glory. But that is an example for all of us to look at. It is imperative that we, as God's children, realize because we are forgiven, we are to be forgiving.
And what if it were so?
That God based our forgiveness on our willingness to forgive others. You better be glad you're this side of the cross. But there's an example you better look at. I wonder how many of us can really forgive. Can really, in our hearts, forgive and move beyond the judgmental state and restore those who have fallen. You remember, you may be a child of God, but you're still walking around in the flesh. And that old flesh is tempted every day you live. Tempted and tried. We're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Let me remind you of this. If you're a child of God, you're not going to hell. That sinner's going to pay for his sin in hell. He's not only paying here, he's going to pay for eternity. But your sins are paid for. As far as eternity is concerned, you don't worry about that. But oh, glory to God. Along the way, we're going to see some troubles and trials. Oft times, it's because of correction. Other times, it's because we're not grown enough yet. And other times, it's to be an example to others along the way. I ask you tonight, do you have a restoring spirit? Or do you have an accusing spirit? God's Holy Ghost in you is a restoring spirit. And He says, you which are spiritual. Now you can measure your spirituality real quick when somebody falls and you want to jump on them and start kicking them. You're not very spiritual, are you? But if you want to help them, bring them out of the quagmires of sin. Help them shake off the leeches of hell and get back on the road. That's God's good spirit. Oh, God, give us that spirit. I cry tonight. I plead with you. Pray for God to give you that kind of spirit. And renew that spirit in all of us tonight. Father, thank you one more time for your good mercy on our behalf.